Welcome again to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host. This week, we start the holiday season with two Thanksgiving-themed sitcoms. Listeners knew just what to expect when they heard, "Henry?" It was time for the Aldrich family and the antics of their teenage son, Henry Aldrich. Various actors played Henry over the 14 years, 1939 through 1953, that Henry Aldrich remained a teenager on radio. Enjoy this episode called Thanksgiving Turkey, first broadcast November 23rd, 1952.
It's the Aldrich family on NBC.
Coming, Mother.
Yes, it's the Aldrich family is transcribed, written by Clifford Goldsmith. One 17 Elm Street in Centerville is a house like many other houses. And it might be a very solemn and staid place if there weren't a boy in it. And when that boy is a typical teenager like Henry Aldrich, well, it's a place where unexpected things are always happening. The scene opens in one of Centerville's grocery stores. The time is afternoon.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Mother, this is Henry.
Who?
Henry Aldrich, your son.
Oh, is everything all right, dear? Are you all through at the store?
Practically. I just wanted to tell you, though, they're all out of mincemeat, and I've been to two other stores.
What's that? They don't have any mincemeat at all?
No. Mr. Preston said people shouldn't let their shopping go till the day before Thanksgiving. He said that...
Dear, I don't care what he said. It's going to be a blow to your father. But I guess he'll have to be satisfied with pumpkin pie.
I know, but they don't have any pumpkins either.
Don't they have any canned pumpkin?
Oh, canned pumpkin?
And Henry, have you picked up the turkey?
No, not yet. I haven't been over to that side of the store.
Well, dear, you go over there just as soon as you hang up and tell Mr. McGill you want the turkey I ordered 3 weeks ago.
Yes, Mother. Only how about Sage?
What about it?
Hey, Henry.
What do you want, Homer?
When you get through with that phone, I want it.
What's that, Henry?
Mother, I said, what shall I do about Sage? They're all out of it.
Henry, they can't be.
Mr. Preston said it's a con of the late shopping.
Well, dear, you ask Mr. Preston whether he can't fix up Mrs. Aldrich with just a little sage for her Thanksgiving dinner. I'm sure he has some put away somewhere.
Listen, Henry, when can I use that phone?
Gee whiz, Homer, can't you see I'm talking to my mother?
What's that, Henry?
Nothing, Mother, I'm just talking to Homer.
Henry, you aren't fooling around down there with Homer, are you?
What's that?
It sounds to me like you haven't done any of the shopping I sent you to do.
Well, I'm doing the best I can, Mother. Gee whiz, all I've got is two pair of hands.
Listen, Henry, I've got to use that phone.
Well, please hurry there and don't waste any time with Homer.
But, Mother...
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Boy, Henry, it's about time.
Gee whiz, Homer, you have to push a guy right out of the booth.
Don't speak to me. Don't say a word. I'm trying to remember five different things to tell my mother.
Gee, I gotta get some sage.
Number, please.
Squash, chestnut, cinnamon.
Number, please.
There's cinnamon. I mean, operator, just make it plain 232 without the cinnamon.
May I have your number, please?
I told you, 232 Elm.
Elm, 232.
Gee whiz, now I've forgotten our whole Thanksgiving dinner. Squash, chestnuts, cinnamon... Oh, boy. Squash, chestnuts, cinnamon.
Hello?
Yeah, but listen, Mother, what came after cinnamon?
What's that? Who did you want?
Isn't this my mother?
Well, yes, Homer, it is. Have you got everything for our dinner?
Well, the only thing on your list that they've got is breadcrumbs and cleaning powder.
Well, did you get them?
Well, yes, but it isn't much of a Thanksgiving dinner.
What's that?
Oh, boy, cranberries.
What?
I just happen to remember cranberries. That's what came after cinnamon.
Well, what about them?
I can't get any.
Oh, now, Homer, they must have at least a few cranberries.
No, they haven't. Henry Aldrich got the last half pound.
What's that? Oh, Homer, you aren't wasting your afternoon with Henry Aldrich, are you?
No. Only, gee whiz, he bought the last cranberries.
Well, dear, I don't see how we can have turkey without cranberries.
Well, you don't have to worry, Mother. I've got something even better.
Oh, that's good. What'd you get?
Ketchup.
Ketchup? You go with turkey?
Oh, well, I like it on anything. And so does Father.
I know, dear.
And it's red. If you pour it on corn kernels, it looks just like cranberries.
Oh, Homer, did you tell Mr. McGill you want our turkey?
Well, that's another thing. There's only one.
Well, one is all we want.
No, I mean one turkey for everybody. And Mr. McGill isn't sure, but he's pretty sure Mrs. Aldridge reserved that.
Now, dear, Mrs. Aldridge didn't reserve that turkey any more than I did. I asked Mr. McGill to put it aside for me weeks ago.
You did?
Yes, now run right over and tell him.
Hey, Homer, I gotta use that phone again.
Well, just a minute, Henry.
Homer, is Henry Aldridge there?
Well, yes, Mother.
Well, he hasn't got hold of that turkey, has he?
Just a minute. Henry, what's in that big bag there? Squash. Now, hurry up, Homer. Mother, it's all right. It's squash.
Oh, Homer, did you get any squash?
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. They don't have the kind you wanted. Look, shall I get the kind Henry got?
Here, get any kind, just so long as your father has a good squash when he sits down with his turkey.
Okay.
Homer, will you let me have that phone?
Okay, here.
Well, thanks.
Hello?
Hello?
Listen, Homer, why are you handing me your mother?
Well, hang her up.
What?
Goodbye, Mother.
Boy, will I be glad when Thanksgiving is over.
Homer, will you please get your oranges and flour and stuff out of this booth?
I'm getting them out, Henry. Listen, where did you get that squash?
There aren't any more.
There aren't? Henry, I'm getting sick of you taking the last everything in this place.
Homer, you gotta keep your eyes open around here.
Number, please.
Elm 303.
Elm 303.
Just a minute there, Aldrich.
What's that?
What do you got there in your hand?
A can of pumpkin. It was the last one on the counter.
I'll say it was. I've been looking all over for it.
For this?
That's part of Mrs. Bartlett's order. Now give it to me.
Well, gee whiz.
Hello?
Hello, Mother. What do you think just happened?
Dear, what is it you want now?
Well, I was going to ask whether one can of pumpkin would be enough.
Well, I guess I could make a pie with one can.
But, Mother, they just took it away from me.
What?
The man said Mrs. Bartlett saw it first.
Dear, do you realize tomorrow is Thanksgiving? It sounds to me as though you aren't even trying.
Mother, you'll be glad to hear I got a lot of parsley.
Parsley?
There doesn't seem to be much of a demand for that. I took 6 pounds.
Henry, do you have our turkey?
Oh, yeah, gee whiz.
You say you have it?
No. I'm glad you reminded me.
Well, you hurry right over to Mr. McGill and ask him for it.
Yes, Mother, I'll go right away.
Goodbye.
Hey, buddy.
Yes, sir. Did you want me?
When you took that can of pumpkin, did you pick up a can of cinnamon, too?
Cinnamon? No, sir. I haven't even seen any cinnamon.
Well, somebody took a can of cinnamon right out of Mrs. Bartlett's order.
Hey, Homer.
What, Henry?
Is Mr. McGill here at the meat counter?
Yeah, he's in the back room wrapping... he's wrapping something up for me.
Okay, I'll wait for him.
Well, he may be in there for quite a while, Henry. Why waste time? Why don't you go over to the other side of the store and do some more shopping?
Well, I finally got all mine done, except for one thing.
You sure? I mean, why don't you go over and get some cinnamon?
They don't have any.
Well, sure they have. I just got a can.
All I have to buy is something right here for Mr. McGill.
Oh, you do?
Sure. Hey, Homer, before I forget, have you got your composition written for English?
Oh, gee whiz, we don't have to have it ready until Monday.
Well, I know, but I'm going to do mine tonight. Then I'll have a free mind for the whole weekend. Gee whiz, what's keeping Mr. McGill? I'm going to go back there and look for him.
Now, wait a minute, Henry, wait.
What for?
Well, the composition is supposed to be about what you did on Thanksgiving Day.
I know.
Well, how are you going to write about what you did on Thanksgiving Day on the day before it?
All I'm going to do, Homer, is eat. I'm going to eat turkey at noon, and then in the evening I'm going to have cold turkey, and just before I go to bed I'm going to have some more turkey.
Oh, well, that's nice. Sounds like an interesting composition.
Now then, Homer, here you are. A very nice 18 count.
Thank you, Mr. McGill. Thank you very much.
It's the last one.
So long, Henry.
Homer, you haven't told me what you're going to do on Thanksgiving Day. Homer? Gee whiz, is he in a hurry?
Now then, young man, what can I do for you?
Henry, didn't you explain to Mr. McGill that he promised me a turkey?
Well, sure, Mother, and he said that he could definitely promise you one.
When?
The day after tomorrow.
Henry, I need a turkey for Thanksgiving, not the day after. When Homer took that turkey, did you tell him he was really taking our Thanksgiving dinner?
Mother, I didn't have a chance to. He just grabbed it from right under my nose and ran.
And Mr. McGill said Homer told him we didn't want the turkey?
Well, Mr. McGill said Homer didn't actually say it. He just implied that we didn't.
Very well. Henry, here's what I want you to do. You're to go over to the Browns and tell Homer's mother exactly what happened.
And demand the turkey?
You don't have to demand it, dear. If you just explain things, I'm sure Mrs. Brown will be only too glad to give it to you.
She will?
Yes, dear. Now start right away.
Yes, Mother.
And hurry right back with it.
Yes, Mother.
Alice.
Yes, Sam.
Where did you just send Henry?
Over to the Browns, dear, to get that turkey.
Now, wait a minute, Alice.
Dear, I'm sorry. It isn't theirs, it's ours. And we have guests coming.
But, Alice, the Browns are old friends of ours. You can't do a thing like that to them. Not at Thanksgiving. And besides, in all fairness, they have an equal right to that turkey. Now, the sensible thing to do is...
Whom are you calling?
Number, please.
Elm 391.
Elm 391.
Sam, you aren't inviting anyone else for dinner, are you?
No, Alice, I'm calling the market.
Dear, believe me, they don't have any more turkeys down there.
Very well. We'll get something else.
Old Hill Market, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, this is Mr. Aldrich.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'd like to place an order with you.
All right, Mr. Aldrich.
Now then, I'd like a couple of real nice roasters.
What's that?
Roasting chickens, say 5 or 6 pounds each.
But, Mr. Aldrich, where am I going to get...
What's that?
There isn't a chicken left in the place.
Oh. Well, then you'd better make it a couple of good-sized ducks. Personally, I like duck just as well as turkey.
No ducks, Mr. Aldrich.
No ducks. Now, wait a minute. You must have something. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
I know, Mr. Aldrich, but it seems like everybody waited till the last minute to do their shopping. My wife and I are having salmon.
We're having company for dinner.
I'll tell you what I can do, Mr. Aldrich. How would you like me to cut up a nice oxtail for you?
Oxtail? What for?
For Thanksgiving. It isn't the same as chicken, but it makes a dandy stew and very nourishing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, just skip the whole thing.
Now, will there be anything else, Mr. Aldrich?
No, thank you. I guess you've got everything. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Alice.
Which did you get, Sam? Chickens or ducks?
I've been thinking it over, Alice, and it seems to me you have a perfect right to demand that turkey from the Browns.
And, dear, that's exactly what I told Henry to do.
Good. But when Henry comes back with it, the thing to do is to call the Browns and insist that they come over here and have Thanksgiving with us.
But, Sam, that turkey isn't large enough for all of their guests and our guests, too.
Oh. Well, that's too bad. I hate to see the Browns go without... Yeah, I'll answer.
Well, of course, if we serve plenty of muffins and yams, we might be able to stretch it.
Hello?
Is this you, Father?
Yes, Henry, where are you?
I'm downtown.
Well, hurry on home. Don't dawdle with that turkey.
Father, I'm dawdling without the turkey.
What?
They wouldn't give it to me. Mr. Brown said they bought and paid for the turkey, and that's all there was to it.
Oh, he did.
Father, isn't there any other place to get a turkey?
I'm not interested in any other turkey. We're going to have that one the Browns have, and we're going to eat it tomorrow. Alone. They're not invited.
You want me to go back and tell them?
No, I'll take care of it.
Father, I'm going to go back to see Homer anyhow.
Never mind that, Henry. You come right home.
But Father...
Henry?
Yes, sir. I'll be right there.
Alice.
Yes, Sam, what's the matter?
I have tried to be patient. I have tried to be considerate. Now I am going to do something.
What?
Here, Alice, take this phone. I want you to call the Browns and demand our turkey.
Is that what she said, Elizabeth?
Yes, Will. Why, in all the years I've known Alice Aldrich, I've never heard her talk that way to anyone.
All right. All right. If they want to make an issue of the turkey, it's all right with me.
Mother, I'll be back in a little while.
Homer, where are you going?
Well, just over to Henry's. It isn't so late, Mother.
Homer, let's get this straight. You're not to have anything to do with Henry Aldrich.
Not ever?
Not until we've eaten that turkey. And if he wants to speak to you, that's his loss.
Yeah, but look, I've got to write a composition, and I need a little advice about Thanksgiving.
Well, you won't get it over there. I don't think the Aldriches are celebrating Thanksgiving this year.
Well, can't one of you answer that phone?
Now, Elizabeth, don't touch it. It's probably Sam Aldrich calling to pick a fight with me about that turkey.
Well, now, Will, the least you can do is talk to him. Even if he loses his temper, you don't have to lose yours.
Elizabeth, I'm just going to sit here absolutely calm.
Father, would you be willing to help me with my composition?
What's your problem?
Well, I have to compare what the Pilgrims did on their first Thanksgiving with what I did tomorrow.
Well, for one thing, you can point at what you did tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
What did you do tomorrow?
What's that?
Homer, what are we talking about?
Well, I think you should at least go to the phone and tell Sam you're not going to give him that turkey.
He'll find out soon enough, Elizabeth. He'll find out. He's found out already.
Well...
What's that?
It's the front door. And I'm not going to sit here and just hear bells
ringing. I'll go to the door. I'm willing to do that.
Well, let me know who it is.
The same here, Father.
Hello there, Will.
Well, Sam Aldrich. Aren't you, that is, won't you come in?
No, thanks, Will.
Mr. Brown, is Homer here?
Now, Henry, you stay right here on the steps where you are. Don't bother the Brown.
Oh, Henry's no bother. Is there something I can do for you, Sam?
Will... I don't know what this is all about,
But I take it that Alice lost her temper when she phoned your wife a few minutes ago. Just between ourselves, well, women have a tendency to exaggerate the importance of things.
You're right, Sam. I tried to reason with Elizabeth. I'm afraid she went a little overboard herself.
When you get right down to it, there isn't any turkey in the world worth sacrificing our friendship over.
No, no, of course not.
And Alice will be the first to admit the same thing.
That's just the way Elizabeth feels.
So, I just wanted to tell you to enjoy the turkey and have a fine Thanksgiving.
Now, wait a second, Sam. The fact is, I was just going to start for your house with that turkey.
No, no, Will, no, no. Just forget the whole thing.
No, Sam, I mean it.
Gee whiz, Father, is Mr. Brown really going to give us the turkey?
Henry, if he brings the turkey out here, we're not going to take it.
Why not?
Well, don't you think I have any pride? I never got down on my knees for a turkey before.
Hey, here you are, Sam. It's all wrapped and everything.
Oh, no, no, Will. No, 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 Will.
Where are you going with that turkey?
Be quiet, Elizabeth. Yes, Sam.
Oh, no. I wouldn't think of it. You keep it and have a nice dinner tomorrow.
Now, Sam, there's no use in your going down those steps without this. Here, Henry, you take it.
Shall I, Father?
No, Henry. Come along.
Sam!
There's no use following us. Will, it's your turkey.
No, Sam, it's yours. I'm putting it right here on the front walk.
All right, Will, if you want to leave it there, it's all right with me.
There it is on the sidewalk, Sam. I'm going back in the house.
And Henry and I are going down the street.
Father, hey, Father.
What's the matter?
Look at those three dogs coming.
What is that?
Hey, get away from there.
Stop. Just look. One of them took it.
What's that? He took it.
Come back here.
Well, Will, that was certainly a foolish thing for you to do.
What do you mean, for me to do? What did you leave it there for?
I left it. You put it down there yourself.
Well, why didn't you pick it up?
Why should I? It's your turkey, Will. If you want it, you go get it. Come on, Henry. We've got other things to do.
Yeah, but gee whiz, Father.
Well, of all...
What's the matter, Father?
Come on, Homer. We've got to chase a dog.
A dog, Father? For Thanksgiving?
We'll return to the Aldrich family in just a moment. Now, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but it's one sure bet that tonight's Phil Harris Alice Faye Show will deliver a full half hour's worth of family comedy. And right after the Harris Faye Show on most of these NBC stations, Theater Guild on the Air will bring you Basil Rathbone, Alan Webb, and Margaret Phillips in the radio version of the Broadway hit The Winslow Boy. And then there's Adventure with a pair of NBC programs, as Jack Webb stars in this week's Dragnet story from the files of the Los Angeles Police Force, while William Gargan will be on hand in the title role of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. So stay tuned to this NBC station and listen for the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, Theater Guild on the Air, Dragnet, and Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Now getting back to the troubles of Henry Aldrich. The Browns have somehow got a turkey from the meat market that had been reserved for Mrs. Aldrich. And then while Mr. Aldrich and Mr. Brown were each trying to outdo the other with politeness over the bird, a stray dog ran off with it. The scene opens in the basement of the Elm Street Church. The time is that same evening.
Step right in, folks. Step right in. The auction's going to begin shortly.
Hello there, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, hello, Mr. Aldrich. Hi, Henry.
Hello. Has the bidding started yet?
No, we'll be starting pretty soon.
Pretty nice turkey.
Nicest bird you ever saw. 25-pounder.
Come on, Henry.
Step right in, folks. The auction will begin shortly.
Gee, Father, I just happened to remember something. You know that darn dog that stole our turkey?
Mr. Brown's turkey.
Yes, sir. Well, I think his name is Dodo, and he belongs to that family that lives down on the corner of Main and Elm.
Where?
You know, where the fence is broken down.
Oh, yeah. That's the family Will Brown's always complaining about.
They got about 15 children.
Yeah, and two dogs for every child.
Pardon me, Mr. Aldrich. I want to get right up here in front.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Bryan.
Well, now, folks, we're auctioning off just one turkey tonight, but it sure is a beauty. They say it's a direct descendant of the first turkey the Pilgrims ate.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, hello, Will Brown. Hi, Homer.
Hi. We aren't late, are we? You haven't sold a turkey yet, have you?
No, sir, but we're going to start right away.
Come on, Homer. Let's get over here to one side.
Boy, am I tired.
Does this tear in my pants show?
What tear?
When that dog tripped me.
Well, it doesn't show too much if you don't bend down.
Homer, why couldn't you have remembered this auction before I tried to climb that fence?
All right, friends, here she is. It's all for charity, a worthy cause. Bid freely and generously. You may be sure good use will be made of the money. Now, what am I offered for this beautiful turkey?
$15.
$15 on bid. That's an insult to this beautiful bird. I wouldn't be surprised to see her get up and walk off in a huff. Who'll make it 18?
20.
20 I have. Why, the drumsticks are worth that.
25.
Now it's 25. Now it's 25.
30.
Now it's 30. Now we're going. I have 30 bids.
Father, aren't you going to bid?
$30.50.
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Brown. I'm only taking dollar bids on this. It's all for charity.
All right, then. Make it 30. 31.
31 what, Father? 31 what?
Dollars, I'm afraid.
31. 31 it is. Who'll make it 32?
33. I mean 32.
No, I heard you the first time, lady. 33 you made it, and thank you.
35.
35 on bid. 35.
Well, Homer, I guess that lets us out.
35 I have from Mr. Aldrich. Who'll make it 40?
Homer, did he say Aldrich?
Well, gee whiz.
Who'll make it 40?
45.
45 on bid. 45.
That'll show Sam Aldrich.
45 is
50.
55.
Gee whiz, Father.
Keep quiet, Homer.
55 on bid. 55. Who'll make it 60?
60.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brown. You raised your own bid. Thank you.
I did?
65.
67. 70. 70 I have. 70 for charity. 70 once. 70 twice.
Father, suppose Mother hears about this.
70 twice to him off.
What did he say, Homer? I don't want to make another mistake.
Do I hear more?
Father, I'd like to...
Now listen, Homer, for the last time, be quiet.
Sold for $70 to Samuel Aldrich.
To who? That's a fine thing. And, Homer, it's all your fault.
Mine?
Well, how are you, Will?
How are you, Sam?
Now, Mr. Aldrich, if you'll step up here and pay your $70...
All right, I'll be happy to.
Bye, Homer. Bye, Henry.
Mr. Aldrich, I want you to know this turkey is going to be wrapped and sent to one of the most deserving families in town.
What's that?
And presented, of course, with the compliments of the whole Aldrich family.
What?
Oh, boy!
Dodo. Come here, Dodo. Nice doggy, Dodo.
Won't he give you the turkey, Papa? Dodo, give Papa the turkey.
Junior, keep away. Do you want to frighten him? Here, Dodo. Give me that turkey. That's a nasty turkey, Dodo. You won't like it.
Papa, where do you suppose he got it?
Natalie, will you stand back and all the rest of you keep back?
All right. Stand back, everybody, and let Papa get the turkey.
Now, Dodo... For the last time, I want that turkey. We need that turkey. We haven't had a turkey dinner in this house in years.
Daddy got it! Daddy, where's he got a turkey?
Look at it, look at it.
Where do you suppose Dodo found that turkey, Papa?
Well, I don't believe in looking a gift dog in the mouth. Besides, Dodo knows a lot of people in this town. Is that the front door?
Yes, Papa.
It is? Now, look, Junior, take this turkey and go into the kitchen with it.
All right. It's our turkey now.
Good evening, Mr. Foley. I've got a surprise for you.
What's that, Mr. Johnson?
Here you are. It's partly from the Elm Street Church and partly from Sam Aldrich.
Well, what's this, a turkey?
A 25-pounder and all the trimmings to go with it.
Oh, Papa!
Gee, where's another turkey?
Just a minute, Alice, and I'll turn the light off.
Don't forget to open the window before you get into bed.
Mother.
Yes, Henry, come in.
Mother, I hate to bother you, but could you look over this composition for spelling?
Not tonight, dear, but leave it here. I'll go over it in the morning.
All right, and thanks.
Good night, Henry.
Good night.
Good night, dear.
You know, Alice, I've been thinking it over.
You've been thinking what over, Sam?
I don't see any reason why we should ask the Browns over for dinner tomorrow.
To be quite frank, dear, I agree with you.
I'll admit we've been good friends, but after the way Will acted today...
And I didn't like Elizabeth's attitude.
So we might just as well...
Dear, how do you spell Pocahontas?
What's that?
I guess Henry spelled it right.
Anyway, I don't see any point in having guests here for a dinner of cranberries and chestnuts.
But, dear, I told you we're also having corned beef hash.
Hash?
Of course, I know it isn't turkey, but... Sam, how do you spell Pocahontas?
Pocahontas?
There's no K in it, is there?
That may be in the original Indian spelling.
Sam, listen to this.
Listen to what?
What I Did on Thanksgiving by Henry W. Aldrich.
Thanksgiving's tomorrow.
Yes, dear, but stop interrupting. This year, the same as last year, we did the same old stuff that we did every other year. To begin with, our dinner consisted of turkey. Only he scratched that out and wrote chicken.
Yeah? Where does he think he's going to eat chicken?
Then he scratched that out and just left it blank.
Oh.
After we finished this hearty meal, we felt very stuffed and all sat around and talked about the price of things and the weather and business and stuff like that. Back in the old days, however, it was much more interesting. Then there wasn't much food for anybody, and the pilgrims had to shoot turkeys just like Indians. Pocahontas was one Indian, for example, but she was a good Indian. Mincemeat, in those days, they didn't have at that time, nor things like sage, because no more ships came in that year. When you once got some food, you had to hang on to it for dear life, because almost anybody might steal it, usually a wolf. There were no stores to buy things, so if a wolf took your turkey and stuff, you were out of luck.
Let me see that out. But it was because of all this that the Pilgrim Fathers, from whom we are all sprung, celebrated their first Thanksgiving and bowed their heads when they sat down over what was in many cases just plain cornmeal mush, which is something that even my mother has never gotten me to like as much as I admire the pilgrims for the other things they did. But even cornmeal mush is all right, I guess, as long as they had neighbors to share it. Because, as my father says, when it comes to Thanksgiving, it's the spirit and not the stuffing that counts.
Father, Homer's on the phone. His folks say if we could bring over a few eggs, they have some cornmeal to make cornmeal muffins, and won't we come over for dinner tomorrow?
What do you mean, won't we come over? You tell them to pack up their cornmeal and come over here.
I can ask them.
Yes, dear, and tell Mrs. Brown if she has any cinnamon to please bring it. I'm going to make applesauce.
Fight communism by joining the Crusade for Freedom, the independent movement of the American people, which supports Radio Free Europe and Radio Free Asia. These two networks are shattering the isolation which the Kremlin has imposed on its slave states. As a private enterprise, they can hit hard and expose the falseness of the communist line. They can spike the hate and lie campaign of the Soviets against the free world. So, help build more transmitters for Radio Free Europe and Radio Free Asia. Send your contribution to Crusade for Freedom, care of your local postmaster.
Dinner. Not for another hour or so, dear.
Well, look, Mr. Foley's dog, Dodo, is out in the front yard.
Yes, Henry.
And Homer and I are going to take him and do a little hunting.
Hunting, dear?
Just around the neighborhood and see what we can dig up.
The Aldrich Family is transcribed as written by Clifford Goldsmith. Henry is played by Bobby Ellis and Homer by Jack Grimes. Mr. and Mrs. Aldrich are House Jameson and Catherine Roth. Your announcer is Dick Dudley. Listen again next week, same time, same station, for another sparkling half hour with the Aldrich Family.
Good night, everybody.
Next, we have America's favorite English teacher, Our Miss Brooks, and her hilarious efforts to find an affordable way to enjoy a Thanksgiving dinner with turkey and all the trimmings. Mr. Boynton, the object of her affection, brings along a rival for his attention when he and Miss Brooks drive into the countryside on their quest for the perfect Thanksgiving dinner. This episode, also named Thanksgiving Turkey, was first broadcast November 19th, 1950.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks under the direction of Al Lewis. Well, most of us have already made our plans for celebrating Thanksgiving, but Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, hadn't given it much thought up until last Friday morning when she sat down to breakfast with her landlady.
Well, it's only 6 more days till Thanksgiving, Mrs. Davis.
I can hardly believe it, Connie. A whole year has gone by since last Thanksgiving.
Isn't it awful? The years do that every year.
It seems like yesterday that I was preparing our last Thanksgiving dinner. We didn't have very much money to spend on our shopping, but we celebrated just the same.
Oh, I'll never forget that meal, Mrs. Davis. A whole roast stuffed pepper.
I feel very badly about not being able to spend Thanksgiving with you this year, Connie, but I've accepted an invitation from my sister Angela.
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Davis.
I'd ask you to join me at her place, but she hasn't been at all well lately. So we're just having the immediate family, my brother Victor and myself. Oh, poor Angela. It seems the older she gets, the more absent-minded she gets.
Yes, you mentioned it to me, Mrs. Davis.
Lately, she's been worse than ever. Why, sometimes she can be talking right along and suddenly, right in the middle of a sentence...
Yes? Right in the middle of a sentence?
Right in the middle of a sentence.
Right in the middle of a sentence what?
Right in the middle of a sentence what?
You've been seeing a little too much of Angela.
Angela?
She's your brother Victor's absent-minded sister. But don't worry about my holiday, Mrs. Davis. I'll get my pearly teeth into something on Thanksgiving Day.
How about Mr. Boynton?
Yum, yum. Oh, you mean spending the day with him? Well, he hasn't asked me as yet, but I'll toss him a hint at school today.
I'm certain that he'll invite you out, Connie, and then you can be sure of your turkey and all the trimmings.
I don't know about the turkey, but if Mr. Boynton and I eat out, I'm a cinch to take my usual trimming.
Does Mr. Boynton always insist on going Dutch, Connie?
I wouldn't say that, Mrs. Davis. It's just a coincidence that I'm buying him a pair of wooden shoes for Christmas. Oh, but why worry about it now? As Madison's star athlete Stretch Snodgrass told me in English class the other day, live good in the present, the future never done nothing to nobody. Well, Stretch is a nice kid, though. He seemed genuinely concerned about my spending Thanksgiving alone. He told me he would have asked me to his home, but his folks are going out of town for the weekend with the Dentons. Oh, that must be Walter now. He's driving me down to school. Coming, Walter!
I'll clear off the table and get started on the dishes, Connie. Say hello to Walter for me.
All right, Mrs. Davis. Come on in, Walter.
I step over this threshold with fear and trepidation.
What do you mean?
I am the editor-in-chief of the Madison Monitor. True?
True.
Well, I made the mistake of letting Stretch Snodgrass set up some of the type yesterday, and he sneaked an item into the personal column that cannot but be a source of great mortification to someone very near and dear to both our hearts.
Who?
You.
Me?
None other. I brought a copy with me. Look at this paragraph, Miss Brooks.
Let's see it. To who it may concern. That's Stretch, all right. It says, it is pitiful to be alone on Thanksgiving Day. If there is one way how people should show their real thanksgivingness,
It is by sharing their dinner with some poor, unfortunate fellow human person who is alone. Without mentioning any names. Oh, well, that's a relief.
Keep reading.
Without mentioning any names, if somebody wants to share his or her meal with this lonely human person, all you have to do is walk up and say, "You can have Thanksgiving dinner with me, Miss Brooks."
Well, Miss Brooks, isn't that awful? Are you going to punish Stretch?
I'm not making any snap judgments, Walter. First, let's see if this ad brings any results.
Excuse me, Miss Brooks, but I'd like to talk to you before you go into your classroom.
I think that might be arranged, Mr. Boynton.
I just read this rather peculiar notice in the school paper, and I wondered...
Oh, that's a little prank that Stretch played on me, Mr. Boynton. Just pay a lot of attention to it.
When I read it, Miss Brooks, I made up my mind I'd be the first one to talk to you about it.
Really? How nice, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, it isn't easy to be alone on Thanksgiving, on a holiday.
No, you're so right.
Many's the Thanksgiving dinner I've eaten alone. But when I saw that notice in the paper, I said to myself, "By George, Philip Boynton."
I didn't know your name was George Philip Boynton.
It isn't. That's just an expression I use. As I was saying, I said to myself, "This is one Thanksgiving you don't have to eat alone." Now, what I want to ask you isn't easy for me, Miss Brooks.
Maybe I can help. I promise not to order anything over $1.50. Please continue.
Since I saw that paragraph in the monitor, I wondered if... Well, if...
I'll make it a dollar even and I'll leave the tip. Please, Mr. Boynton, just ask me what you want to.
All right, I will.
Good.
Miss Brooks... If that notice brings you more than one invitation to dinner, could I make use of the extra one?
You wanted to see me, Mr. Conklin?
Yes, Miss Brooks. Sit down, won't you, please? Take this leather chair by my desk. That's it. Are you nice and comfy?
Yes, sir. I'm fine, but how are you?
Splendid, thanks. This is the time of year when we should all be imbued with the true Thanksgiving spirit. That's why I've summoned you to my office, Miss Brooks, to tell you that in spite of the inconveniences you have wreaked upon me, I harbor no ill will.
Well, that's very nice to hear, Mr. Conklin. I have been the source of annoyance to you on occasion, I suppose, but I...
I am thankful for everything that's happened to me in the past year. Take the time you dropped that typewriter on my toe. I just give thanks that it didn't land higher and fracture my whole foot.
That was careful of me, wasn't it?
Then when I think back to the time you stepped on my eyeglasses and crushed them, I give thanks that they weren't on my nose at the time. But my main purpose in calling you here is to inform you that I have read the notice in this morning's monitor.
Oh, that's just a joke, Mr. Conklin. It was written by one of the pupils in my English class.
Yes, I could tell from its construction. However, I want you to know, Miss Brooks, that I was quite touched by that item. The more so since I, too, will be all alone this Thanksgiving.
But what about your daughter and Mrs. Conklin?
They're spending the day with Harriet's grandmother, my wife's dear mother. We asked her to join us for the holiday, but she lives almost 100 miles away, and she thinks she's got high blood pressure or something. So nothing would do but that Harriet and Martha visit her. Bless her crotchety old heart.
But why aren't you going along?
What? Me make a trip like that with my blood pressure? The doctor has absolutely forbidden it. In any event, when I read that notice, Miss Brooks, a thought occurred to me which might make Thanksgiving more enjoyable for both of us.
Both of us?
Yes, yes. Since we're both going to be alone, I'd like to ask you... I wonder if you'd... What I have to say isn't easy for me, Miss Brooks.
Maybe I can help. I promise not to order anything over $1.50.
Loneliness can do more to undermine a person's morale than almost anything. And, well, if you'd... that is, if possible...
I'll make it $1 and I'll leave the tip.
Please don't misunderstand, Miss Brooks. What I want to ask you is... Well, if that notice brings you more than one invitation, could I make use of the extra one?
Why should you be an exception? Oh, of course, Mr. Conklin. Now, if you'll excuse me, sir, I've got to get to my classroom.
Very well, you may go. Be sure and keep me apprised of all results, Miss Brooks.
Yes, sir. I'm sure we'll be pelted with turkey dinners. Spirit of Thanksgiving. Are you comfy, Miss Brooks? Take this chair, Miss Brooks. Of all the...
Hi, Miss Brooks. I see that you just came out of Daddy's office. Is he very disgruntled this morning?
No, Harriet. He's not grumbling any louder than usual. He does seem a bit put out at having to eat Thanksgiving dinner alone.
Oh, but he's not going to. Grandmother's coming down to our place after all. We're going to surprise Daddy.
Oh, that should do it.
He's so sentimental about holidays. Now he'll be able to do his Thanksgiving carving just like always. It'll be loads of fun. I've already invited Walter Denton over.
Good. I can't think of anyone your father would rather carve.
I know he's not crazy about Walter, but during the holiday season, Daddy's always a little more mellow. I'm going to do some of the shopping today. Mother gave me $5 for a turkey.
That doesn't seem like much, Harriet. How big a turkey are you planning on getting?
Oh, just a nice 8-pounder.
But will that be enough to go around? Mr. Boynton's a pretty big eater, you know.
Mr. Boynton? But he'll be eating with you, won't he?
He certainly will. And at what better place could he join me for Thanksgiving dinner than in the warm confines of your cozy dining room?
Well, I would like to invite you both, Miss Brooks, but I've only got this $5. That's all Mother said to spend.
Tell you what, Harriet. Give me the $5, and I'll see that we get a big enough turkey for all of us.
Well, if you really want to come, Miss Brooks, I'd certainly like to have you. And I'm sure Mother would, too. But there have been times when you and Daddy...
Don't you see, Harriet, if Walter's coming, you'll be doing your Daddy a good turn by inviting me.
Why, how do you mean, Miss Brooks?
With both of us there, we'll be an antidote for each other.
Brush your teeth with Colgate. Colgate Dental Cream, it cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
Colgate toothpaste.
Cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. And the Colgate way stops tooth decay best. More than 2 years' research showed the Colgate way of brushing teeth right after eating helps stop more decay for more people than ever before reported in dentifrice history. Yes, the Colgate way stops tooth decay best, better than any other home method of oral hygiene. No other dentifrice, ammoniated or not, has proof of such results. And you should know that Colgate's, while not mentioned by name, was the one and only toothpaste used in the research on tooth decay recently reported in Reader's Digest. So always follow the Colgate way to clean your breath while you clean your teeth. And stop tooth decay best.
Brush your teeth with Colgate. Colgate Dental Cream, it cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
And the Colgate way stops tooth decay best.
When lunch period arrived, as luck and I would have it, Mr. Boynton brought his tray right to my table in the cafeteria. In spite of the fact that he had a nice lunch before him, he didn't begin eating, but sat with his fork poised and stared into my eyes with a deep and absorbing emotion. It was a terribly romantic moment, as Mr. Boynton leaned across the table and in a voice choked with passion said...
Get any extra invites to Thanksgiving dinner?
No, and get your fork out of my cottage cheese.
Sorry. I was just wondering about that notice in the monitor.
Well, you can forget about the notice, Mr. Boynton. I've wangled us both an invitation to join the Conklins for the holiday.
Oh, say, that's wonderful. Mrs. Conklin's a fine cook.
There's only one catch. We've got exactly $5 with which to buy a turkey that'll feed 6 people.
Well, how in the world are we going to do that, Miss Brooks?
You and I can chip in another $5 between us.
There must be some other way.
Well, there isn't. Not unless I put up the entire amount, and I can't unless I pawn my earrings again.
Oh, but Miss Brooks...
I wouldn't care if I hadn't had my ears pierced. You have no idea how drafty my lobes get in November.
You won't have to pawn anything. There is a way we can get a good-sized young turkey very reasonably.
How?
By merely eliminating the butcher.
What do we do, buy the turkey from his parents?
Don't you see, Miss Brooks, we have to go after a live turkey. Well, they're much cheaper than in the stores. Why, we can probably pick one up for even less than $5.
Well, there's nothing to it. Of course not. All we have to do is find a young turkey who hasn't learned the value of money.
Once we get a good one, we can kill it ourselves, pluck the feathers, clean it, and dress it.
There must be some other way.
Believe me, this will work, Miss Brooks. I know a place about 20 miles from here. A fellow named Tobin has a turkey farm. We'll drive out after school and see what he's got.
Say, it might be fun at that. A nice drive in the country.
Well, sure. The fresh air will be good for all of us.
All of us?
You, me, and my pet frog, McDougal. Well, he hasn't been at all well lately, Miss Brooks.
What's the trouble?
He can't seem to sleep.
Maybe he reads too late. I mean, where has he been sleeping?
Oh, his usual place, on a newspaper in his cage.
Well, there's your answer. How can anybody sleep with the news that's in the paper nowadays?
Well, old Tobin certainly gave us a nice gobbler for $5.
Yes, he did, but I still can't get too enthusiastic about having to execute it ourselves.
Oh, you just feel that way because she's a hen turkey. Tobin seemed quite attached to her, too. What was it he called her again?
Bernice. Oh, isn't that cute? She knows her name.
Oh, that's nothing. Mac knows his name, too.
Your frog?
Of course. His cage is right beside you on the seat. Just pick it up and call to him.
Oh, that's ridiculous, Mr. Boynton. I'm not going to start any conversations with McDougal.
Is that it?
Well, if you don't mind, I'm putting him in the back with Bernice. There you go, Mac. You can keep each other company back there.
Oh, poor Mac. He's been so apathetic from lack of sleep, he probably won't even notice Bernice.
From the saying, like father, like frog. Bernice is very interested in Mac. Oh, isn't that cute? She's got her head right next to his cage.
What in the world is Mac doing?
You have just heard the frog's version of a wolf whistle.
That's one for the book. Mac is definitely smitten by that hen turkey. Hey. Say, what's going on in the back seat now, Miss Brooks?
Something that should be going on in the front seat. They're getting better acquainted. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he's asking her out to a dance.
That'd be quite a sight. Oh, actually, Bernice is much too tall for Mac.
Oh, I don't know. She's a natural for a barn dance. Do-si-do, now I ain't bluffing. Dance too hard and you'll lose your stuffing. Oh, calm down, Bernice. I was just kidding.
Now that we've got her, Miss Brooks, where are we supposed to take the turkey?
To the Conklin's backyard. Mr. and Mrs. Conklin are attending a tea party, so it won't spoil Mr. Conklin's surprise.
Well, will Harriet be there to give us a hand?
Uh-huh, and so will Walter. He's bringing his AXE. Well, how do you like that? She can spell, too.
Careful with his crate, Walter. There's a slat loose on the side.
Yeah, I got it, Mr. Boynton. Now let's set it down in the driveway.
Oh, what a wonderful turkey.
Sorry, Mac. You'll have to wait in the car.
He's a beauty, all right. Absolutely inspiring. Oh, what a perfect combination. The lovely, graceful neck of a turkey and my trusty Boy Scout hatchet.
What a charming thought. You've been seeing too many kid shows on television. But if it has to be done, the quicker the better.
Right, you are, Miss Brooks. Want a blindfold turkey?
No, but I do.
Look out, she's getting away.
Grab her wings, Walter. She's heading for the house.
Hey, I missed her. Oh, Miss Brooks, do something.
Don't look at me. I'm on her side.
She's going through the dining room window.
Now, what made her do that?
Maybe she wants to try on one of the platters for size.
We've got to get her out of there before Daddy comes home. We want this to be a surprise. Come on in the side door.
Where could she have gone?
She doesn't seem to be in the dining room anymore.
Maybe she went into Daddy's study.
You look in there, Harriet. And Walter, you try the kitchen.
But where are you going to look?
I'll take the closet with Mr. Boynton. You kids go ahead.
But, Miss Brooks, you don't think the turkey really went into the closet, do you?
Who knows? It shouldn't take us more than 20 minutes to find out.
I think the turkey's definitely in this study somewhere. Take a look behind the couch, Walter.
Okay, Harriet. I'll sneak up on the little beauty with the stealth of a barefoot pilgrim.
That might be Daddy. He always forgets his key. Walter, you stay put behind that couch. Miss Brooks, Mr. Boynton, follow me.
Where are you going to hide us?
In this clothes closet right across the hall. Quick, Miss Brooks, get in.
Okay.
Be right there. Hello, Daddy.
Forgot my key again, Harriet.
Where's Mother?
She's doing some shopping for tonight.
For dinner?
Oh, don't mention that word. I ate so much at that confounded tea party that I can hardly breathe. I'm going into my study and lie down on the couch for a while.
Oh, but you can't. I mean, well, you know what nightmares you get when you go to sleep after eating. Remember the time you thought there were bats in your bedroom?
That was after I saw Lost Weekend. Now, don't fuss around me, child. I can hardly keep my eyes open.
But, Daddy, wouldn't the bedroom be more comfortable?
I'd never make it up the stairs, Harriet. Just call me in an hour or so, please.
Oh, dear. Miss Brooks, Mr. Boynton, come out of the closet.
Go away.
Did I hear your father say he was going to take a nap in the study, Harriet?
That's right, Mr. Boynton. And I'm almost positive the turkey's in there.
Well, we can't be sure. I'm going to look around the back of the house.
Okay, Mr. Boynton. Miss Brooks, let's tiptoe up to the study door and listen. He's asleep already, thank goodness.
Well, let's open the door then. Take another peek.
Look, Miss Brooks. The turkey just came out of that closet. She's walking toward the couch.
Now he's starting to wake up.
Daddy's looking at the turkey.
Now the turkey's looking at Daddy. I wonder which one will scream first.
What's that? Oh. Oh, it's a nightmare. Oh, I should never have tried to sleep after all that food. Look, turkey. Nice turkey. I know you're not there. But please go away.
You stay here, Harriet. I've got an idea. Mr. Conklin. Hello, Mr. Conklin.
What? What? Miss Brooks, is that you? Are you really here?
What's the difference as long as it's a nightmare? I heard you moaning in your sleep, sir, and I thought maybe...
Never mind what you thought. Get this turkey out of my study.
What turkey?
What turkey? What is that?
Maybe your dream turkey has an allergy.
The turkey just walked out the door. That sneeze came from behind the couch.
It's just me, Mr. Conklin. Me and my trusty hatchet.
Oh, God! Dream or no dream, boy, there's no reason to go berserk. We've had our differences, surely. But deep down in my heart, I've always had a warm spot for you.
Please, Mr. Conklin, don't get hysterical. Why don't you lie down and close your eyes?
How can I close my eyes with Walter standing over me with a hatchet?
Walter? Walter who?
If I don't call my doctor when I wake up, I'll never go to sleep again. Oh, well, I might as well relax.
That's the idea, Mr. Conklin. Take a nice, long snooze.
Miss Brooks, Bernice just ran out in the backyard and... Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. Conklin. I didn't mean to disturb you.
Oh, that's all right, Boynton. You'll disappear in a few minutes.
Disappear?
Mr. Conklin's been dreaming, and let's keep it that way.
It's all right, Miss Brooks. The turkey ran right into our garage, and I closed the door.
What's going on here?
We just wanted to surprise you, sir.
May I say, you have?
Please don't be angry, Daddy. Miss Brooks saved us a lot of money by getting a live turkey. I only gave her $5.
$5?
Yes, sir. You see, you're not going to be alone after all. That was the surprise Harriet planned. Not only is your mother-in-law coming down for Thanksgiving, but we're all joining you, too.
And now I have a dispatch for you. After the tea, I saw my doctor, and he put me on a strict vegetarian diet. Harriet and her mother are going to spend the holidays with Granny as planned. As for you, Miss Brooks, kindly hand over the $5 my daughter gave you.
But we paid that for the turkey.
You can have the turkey. All I want is my money.
But we can't get a refund now. The used turkey market is shot to pieces. What will Mr. Boynton and I do with an entire turkey?
That, Miss Brooks, is your concern. For once, I might add, the joke is on you.
Well, I've celebrated some Thanksgivings in my time, but this is the biggest bird I ever received.
Eve Arden returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight...
Yes,
tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a Luster Cream shampoo. Luster Cream, world's finest shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives you Kay Dumit's magic blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Better than a soap, better than a liquid, Luster Cream is a dainty cream shampoo. Leaves hair three ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen, soft, manageable. Even in hardest water, Luster Cream lathers instantly. So gentle, Luster Cream is wonderful even for children's hair. Tonight? Yes, tonight, try Luster Cream shampoo.
Dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is Eve Arden.
70 little children in one classroom. That's the kind of critical situation your community faces. Unless it can recruit new elementary school teachers immediately. Our increased school population also needs urgently more buildings, more textbooks, more supplies than ever. Better schools make better communities. So for improved educational facilities... Join and work with your local civic groups and school boards. For further information, write to the National Citizens Commission for the Public Schools, 2 West 45th Street, New York 19, New York. Good night.
This is Vern Smith reminding you to tune in next week to another Our Miss Brooks show, brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair, and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written by Al Lewis, with the music of Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, and Gloria McMillan.
Doctors prove Palmolive soap can bring you a lovelier complexion in 14 days. Yes, 36 leading skin specialists proved in tests on 1,285 different women that Palmolive soap facials using nothing but Palmolive brought new complexion beauty to 2 women out of 3. Just wash your face 3 times daily with Palmolive soap, each time for 60 seconds, massaging Palmolive's beauty lather onto your skin. Then rinse and pat dry. So start your Palmolive facials today. Remember, doctors prove Palmolive soap can bring you a lovelier complexion in 14 days.
If you like mysteries that are as full of chuckles as chills, be sure to hear Mr. and Mrs. North every Tuesday over this same network. Don't miss the exciting and laughable adventures of these amateur detectives. Hear Mr. and Mrs. North every Tuesday night. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. Stay tuned now for Jack Benny. CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. Next week, we will bring you more classic radio with a Thanksgiving theme. I'm Justine Ward, your host. So long for now.